Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 56, on the way again, number 8. Today is Friday, July 18th, 2008. I am your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Today's message was originally recorded January 18th, 1985. The message talks and deals with religion, the question of religion. You're going to want to listen to this message all the way through, so set the time aside. But as you know, this is a podcast, so you can listen to 5-minute segments if you'd like. It's so good because religion is something that at one time or another, we have all been in a discussion about religion. Our religion or other people's religion or comparing religions. Pastor Paul breaks it down. You're going to want to send this message to friends. You can go to Pastor Paul's blog. That address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you'll be able to download the podcast, make a comment at the blog, at the bottom of the show notes where I will post links to the scriptures that are in the podcast, you'll be able to make a comment. Be sure to do that if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions. Do that at the blog, or you can call me and make an audio comment. Our audio comment line is 1-715-808-0318. It's just like voicemail. You call the number, leave your comment. And if you want, we can play it on the next podcast. You can also send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. And be sure to go to our website, www.pastorpaul.org. Now, the website is under construction. We're in a series of messages that are entitled On the Way. This is number 8. Next Friday is number 9. So be sure to come back here. Or better yet, subscribe to the podcast so that you will get the message, which will be next Friday. Have a great week. Have a great summer. It's fantastic. Don't you love summer? We'll see you back here next Friday. God bless you and have a great week.
Tonight's message is entitled, On the Way Again, Number 8. Now, we've been ministering on how natural it is to be a Christian. How natural it is. And how insane it is to be in the world. Isn't that insane to be out there in that world? Whew. Just go on out to one of these cafes, let's say like 2 o'clock, and listen to all the swearing and cussing and so on like that. And it's like a snake pit. Insanity. But anyway, when we get used to the idea, we completely want to go all the way. And even then, sometimes we get off. Today, I got off the way, I have to admit. It was over like, probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes, but I knew it. And I came back again, and I went off again, and I come back again. And it came in a way where I was thinking to myself, I got so involved in a project. And I thought, you know, I'm not giving enough glory to God. I should be praising God in the middle of this. But sometimes you can get so busy, you haven't got time to praise God, right? And you know what? Things started to go wrong, and you have to come back to praising the Lord while you're doing things. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All things. And without him, everything is zilch. I got off the way. I thought, hey, what's going on here? I'm starting to reel out here. And I had to get back on the way again. There's only one way. How many times we forget that? And even when we're trying to be religious and have a whole lot of legalism, we get off the way. That's not the way. That's not the joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost way. The way is magnifying Christ in all that you do. The way is praising him in everything. Give thanks. Oh, but so easy to get off. So easy to get caught up in the spuds or in the liver. these little things we have going on in the church, this passing out of the potatoes for the benefit of the radio audience. They'll think I'm crazy if I don't explain. Or these 80,000 pounds of potatoes. 40 tons. So easy to forget about the Lord. And it starts to fall flat the minute you do that. Have no other gods before me. It's including potatoes and liver. But see, it's a lesson, isn't it? Matthew 12 and 6 says, one greater than the temple is here. One greater than this building. One greater than all the things that go on in this building, this temple. It was when Jesus was here, the temple was the center of attention, the first love. That's the way it is sometimes now. First love is what's going on in the church, and not first love isn't Jesus anymore. It's the renovation of a room or something. Are you hearing this? But that's the way it was then when he was here. The first love, the center of their hope and the center of their faith was that building, that temple. But now here stands Jesus. One greater than the temple is here. What? Greater than this carpet? Greater than these lights or this altar or these inner courts? Or these men running around with tall hats and beads and long gowns? And it made them mad. God came and it made them mad because it took away from them. They were God. They were the law. They were the ones that prayed out loud on the corners for all to hear. But inside they were vipers. You see, but he was right. It fell, the temple fell. But he stood, and all that's left is the Wailing Wall. He lives on. Jesus lives on. Hallelujah. Maybe right now you're not feeling just right. Just inside your mind say, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Ha ha, works. But going on, Jesus stands the way, stands all of the ways, must bow. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a time coming. All the world's little ways have had their day. I mean, they have phased out. There's nothing left in them. They have all ended up in dead ends. There is no way out now. They're all steamed into the book of Revelation. Like I said Sunday, they're standing there with their tickets and their stubs. There's nothing left. Where do we go from here? There's only one way. All the prophecy is in now. It's waiting for fulfillment. But every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whew. Isn't that going to be a time? Hallelujah. Revelations 1 and 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Sometimes when I see Jesus and I'm off the way, I get a little fearful. And I fall at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. Whew. Oh, let's get into this message tonight. And the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. I have the keys. I am the way. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am your hope. I am your joy. I am your righteousness. I am your salvation. Hallelujah. When we learn that, thoroughly learn it, and stop getting off of the way with the arguments and little rivalries and all this contention and junk. Oh, my God. We get back on the way. We say, oh, I'm so glad to be back on the way again. Where have you been? Oh, I've been over here this way, arguing and talking and getting into a whole lot of stink. Did it happen to you this week? Happened to me. How about you on the radio? Did you get off the way? Well, you didn't, huh? You can tell by the way that you answered that question that you were off the way. That's right. And you on the tape, too, are sitting there all smug. Whoa. Jesus is the way. He has the keys. Well, we got to remind each other every day when somebody comes up and they're feeling all frumpy, say, you're off the way. Well, don't they say that in the world? I had an off day? Oh, I tell you, they give so much scripture. All wisdom comes from above. And if a Christian won't do it, God will call a donkey. And if the donkey won't do it, he'll call somebody out of a bar, somebody out of the world to give the word. The low, base, perverted things of this world, he'll rise up, raise them up to confound the wise. But did you have an off day? Why was that day off? You were off of the way. You forgot. Let's call it temporary insanity, should we? Isn't that insane when someone comes, it's on the way and all the... And I said this, and I said, oh, no, you don't, boy. Well, you just got to say, hey, hold it. You're off the way. You're insane right now. I think we should restrain one another. When you hear some of this strange things coming on. When I start to feel a little bit strange, I know I'm off the way. Anybody feel strange this week? Oh, I did. How about you on the radio? Well, you turned me off. Now you're turning me back on again. Did you feel strange this week? That's because you were off the way. Weren't you? That goes for you on the tape, too. Revelations 3, 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, he who is holy, who is true, who is the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this. Ooh. Hallelujah. Listen. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no man can shut. Oh, I'd like to believe we are that church. Because you have a little power, I have kept my word and have not denied my name. Whew. Oh, I would like to believe. I'll go you one better. I do believe that this church, and there are other churches and there are other bodies that are this church, Philadelphia. Hallelujah. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no man will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. Because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Well, what is the word? Go out into the highway, into the byway, and minister unto all creation. Minister to the sick, minister to the poor, go to the prison, minister the gospel message, deny not the name of the Lord. Oh, but we have to recognize when we are off. How many know they were off this week a little bit? That's good. Now you know that you can get back on again. Sometimes if you don't tell a person and they don't recognize they're off, they'll walk down in the ditch for a whole month through get these stickers all over their pants, and they're down in there where all them hubcaps are and garbage down in there, trudging through all this slime and gunge. And they just keep right on going, grunting and griping. You got to yell, say, hey, come up out of the ditch. Who led you in there? Some other blind person. Oh. Whew. But anyway, our God is intimate. One greater than the temple is here. Our walk must be Christ-centered, let's say. Now, I can also tell when I'm not centering my walk on Christ, when I haven't got my eyes right on the Lord. Now, I know, you know why I know? Because I'm off balance. Did you know that? How many were off balance this week? The world tells us that. We weren't balanced. And I believe that's the very reason that our churches suffer, because they are not Christ-centered. That means Jesus has to be the center of everything we do. Now tomorrow we're going to go out and it's going to be cold out. We aren't going to think about it being cold out there, Warner, out there on that bread run. We're going to keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts stayed on Christ. Do you want to get cold? Do you want to say, oh, I'm not getting all that bad. I'm going to get in bed, and I'm going to put on my overcoat and my long, long socks and my moccasins and earmuffs, and I'm going to snuggle up to my husband or my wife and just lay in that bed. I'm not getting up. Better get up. Better get up. Say amen, somebody. Are you centered in on how cold it is? Or are you centered in on Christ? Well, I know when I'm off, because I said, oh, gee, it's going to be cold out tomorrow. Or, oh, wow, gee, this is, huh? See, it's not Christ-centered. It won't work. Oh, if I've learned that, I've learned it 1,000 times. Wrong values and wrong starting points. Did you ever start out wrong and you knew it? You kept right on going? Someone told you, hey, you're going the wrong way. Hey, I know which way I'm. Never mind! Taking a shortcut. Shut up! And you knew it was the wrong way? Maybe you didn't like the person that was giving you a correction in your direction. Ooh, maybe they weren't as spiritual as you. See, we must start and end everything in the name of Jesus. Get up in the morning in the name of Jesus. Go out of that house in the morning. Don't go out in any other name. Don't go out there with your own name. Look out, world, here comes Paul Arnopoulos. Oh, the world is going to lay you out. Jesus said, ye can do nothing without me. Now that is exactly what it means, nothing. Oh, I can get up in the morning, I can get my own shoes, I can get my own pants buckled up, and oh, how come they're on backwards then? Did you ever put on two different socks? Huh? We've got to start everything, and we have to end everything in the name of Jesus. Then when you go to bed at night, I'm going to sleep in Jesus' name. Did you know that demons have to flee in the name of Jesus? I think a lot of people have all these nightmares and things that are going on. It's because they don't go to bed and go to sleep in the name of Jesus. They go to bed with us, you know, they're sore heads, and they've been sore heads all day, and they go to bed with a sore head. And they have sore head dreams. They're murdering somebody. What does this mean? I murdered my mother, and I murdered... Well, what it means is that you need help. See, we try and start from God. But if we don't know God, we start from our own idea about God. Well, if I was God, I'd do it this way. Praise God that you're not God. That is the dumbest thing I ever heard. Your suggestions that you've given the world all week. You in the radio audience and tape ministry? Have been in your own name and with your own ideas about what you think God would do. So you're taking the part of God. Well, if I was God, I'd do it this way. A lot of people think, well, God is up in heaven far, far, far away. Away up there in the cosmos. Then there's another group that stands over here. Shh, God is here. And they think being holy and being righteous is being silent. Well, there's a time for being silent, but there's a time for shouting from the housetops. You're silent at night so other folks can sleep. And what Jesus whispers in your ear at night, you get up on the house during the day and you yell out all over town. See, but our ideas about God are not God. How many found that out this week? I sure did. Did you have some real good ideas, did you? Didn't work out, did they? And then you argued with God. Oh, God, how come by faith I had this idea? Hey, put this plan into action. Why didn't you back me up? Well, you see, even like, you know, like in AA, higher power. One guy's higher power is a tree, and he goes up and he tells this tree all of his problems. That's the truth. Whatever you want to be your higher power, just anything, just something to talk to. Well, you can talk to a wall if you want to. I'd rather talk to God. See, but they're doing a better job than a whole lot of churches are. At least they have some kind of power. Did you hear what I said there? See, we got to start from God's idea about himself. And God's idea about himself is Jesus Christ. I have given you an idea. I have given you my only begotten Son. My thoughts are way above your thoughts, and my ways are way above your ways. Now I'm going to give you the way, Jesus Christ. How's that for an idea? You got one better? No, I didn't think you'd have anything to say on that one. You see, we got to start, I said, from God's, are you hearing this? Idea about himself, Jesus Christ, God became man. Think about that. Wow. Jesus is the human life of God, and Jesus is the God in the sky to God. He is my Savior and my Lord and my friend and my righteousness and my holiness and my joy and my love. Isn't there a song like that? He's my everything. Underneath the sun, he's my everything. Rolled up into one. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. Don't start out with a problem. What's that? You. You start out this morning with a problem. You say, well, not really. Well, if you started out with yourself, that's a problem. You know how you'll end up? With a problem, you. You got to start out with Jesus, and you have to end up with Jesus, and you have to have Jesus in between all day long, or it won't work. And anyway, how can a problem solve a problem? How many have come to that realization this week? I certainly have. What is your center? And then I should ask, what is your circumference? Because you see, they really depend on one another, don't they? What is your hub? And what is the wheel? See, if you have the wrong circumference, you'll come to the end of it. And then again, if you have the wrong center, your faith will run out as it faces the problems of living. It's a wrong hub. Run out. Christ must be the center. Christ must be the starting point. And then his circumference is endless. It covers everything. It surrounds and engulfs and covers everything. And oh, I hear someone on the radio saying, oh. It's so simple, so basic, that even whilst you're sitting here tonight, if Jesus isn't the center, you are off. And then, you know, I see someone in the radio audience going. Now, really, isn't that hard to understand? I'm not trying to get super spiritual here. Just listen. If Jesus isn't the center, you're off. And you got a crooked wheel. You're going to have some loose spokes in there. They're going to fall off. And the rim is going to go rolling in the ditch again. See, we love to take over as God. Well, if I was God, I'd do it. We'd just love to do that. And it never works. A lot of times I wish it would work, but it never does. What was wrong with that idea? As I hear the idea being scrapped in heaven with tearing of paper. Now, it's not mine to question. So many times I hear people question, well, why is God doing this to me? Because you're full of dumb ideas, that's why. I said it and I'm glad. I has to save you from yourself. You are full of dumb ideas. Oh, I got an idea. Oh, look out. I was thinking the other day. Ooh. You don't hear Jesus' name mentioned in that conversation, run as fast as you can. I'm going to hear in this message tonight. Now get your mind off your frozen feet and let's hear it. See, Jesus has got to be the center here. You know, warm you up. Now here we are in John 1 and 18, and it says like this. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. You looking for an answer? The answer is in Jesus Christ. It is explained. God is explained in Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? Oh, I like that. Don't you like that? Let's do that one again. Oh, this is beautiful. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Woo! Isn't that good? Well, people always want to know things. Well, where is God? Is he wee, wee, wee? No. You look at Jesus, and you're looking at God. They're one. And if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. They are one. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. That's our vehicle. That's how we get to God. Through Jesus. Do you ever try to go through yourself? Well, you'd have to swallow your feet. You know what I mean? You'd have... I'm trying to make it simple so you'll understand. Get through to you so you won't go through yourself. Did you try to go through yourself this week? I did. Isn't that a bumpy road? I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Just got done telling. Now listen. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? He is with you. God with you is Christ in you. Ooh. One greater than the Bible is here. No, I heard some people clearing their throats on the radio. Oh, no. Let's lay a trap here. One greater than the Bible is here. Now, our Bible is great, isn't it? But you know what it's for? It's to lead you to Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. You search the Scriptures, imagining you possess eternal life in their pages. And they do not testify of me, and they do testify of me, but you refuse to come to me for life. Now, I have actually seen people get into private Bible studies, and they think, don't you dare say anything to me. I am reading my Bible, and I'm into a private Bible study, and you're ministering by the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Oh, and someone's in their own private Bible study. Marking scriptures has nothing to do with the message. I want to tell you something. They are into themselves. Say amen. You can hear the pages just... Huh? It's a wonder they don't bring a concordance and a dictionary and just spread out their papers and get in the aisle. And you know what I mean? Get into a whole thing. You search the scriptures imagining you possess eternal life in their pages, and they do testify of me, but you refuse to come to me for life. Many know the word, but that's all. You can go in places where the whole congregation knows the word, and they are deader than Tut's tomb. And they're sitting there, and I've seen it. I've been to the taught and ministered in spirit-filled churches, and I won't make any names. This is years and years ago. And you look out there, and it's deader, almost deader, than it. You know what I mean? How dead can it be that once the people have the life and they leave the life? And it's so cold and it's so dead you wouldn't believe it. God. You're going to see some of those names lined up in the council names in the World Council of Churches. Say amen, somebody. How many hearing this message tonight? Eternal life is Jesus Christ and not the printed word. This is to lead you to Jesus Christ. This is for you to study to know about Jesus Christ. How many know that's the truth? How many scholars are out there right now in different Bible colleges around the world that are atheists teaching in all these seminaries? And you ask them if they believe certain things and they will tell you no. Say amen. And I believe many of us know the printed word. But how well do you know Jesus Christ? If people really knew Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be treating each other the way they do. How well do you know Jesus Christ? How well do you know the word become flesh? Many have known the word, but never lived it. They become dry. They become lukewarm. They become boring. Have you ever been around a spiritual bore? And someone comes up and they're all flighty and they're full of life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Guess what happened? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they look at him like, oh, shut up or I'll poke you. Do you ever feel that way? Someone else is real, real happy? And you weren't on top of it? You know why you felt that way? Because you weren't on the way at that time, and they were, and you were jealous. Isn't that true? How many have felt that way, though, when someone's all excited, but you're off the way? And you feel inwardly like, say, Oh, shut up. I know Jesus too, but you're not on the way. Don't they help us get on the way, though, when they're like that? Oh, full of fun and happy. Woo-hoo. And we're into ourself. Oh, shut up. I'm more spiritual than you. I know how to be happier than you are. I can be that way. Well, then get that way, dummy. That's what I tell myself. I don't want to stay that way more than 30 seconds, a minute at the most. That's how I can tell I'm off the way. Paul calls Christ the unspeakable gift. Unspeakable. I mean, it's a gift that's so great that words cannot explain it. Doesn't that feel that way when you've been off the way and then you get back into Jesus and you feel the power of the Holy Spirit and you feel that joy coming back? What an unspeakable gift. Isn't it good to get back in again? On the road again? On the way again, huh? But he could not find words to describe. All of his praising was an understatement. Never worry about overpraising the Lord. You ever have anybody tell you that? Hey, I mean, you know, it's okay to praise the Lord, but you have to say praise the Lord every little thing you do. Everything, huh? Say yes. If I don't, I'll get off the way. I'm only taking the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I'm only given one step at a time. Isn't that what the song says? One step at a time, sweet Jesus, huh? Well, you keep praising him so you get the next step, or you can get off. There'll always be those people who say, praise the Lord, pray. Hey, knock it off. Knock it off. Huh? And they don't have to verbally say it. It's in their head. It's like you're an irritation, a thorn. Ooh. Ooh. See, Christ was here before the Bible, I'm saying. He is the person greater than the product. There are so many people that are so puffed up and so knowledgeable with the Word. They don't know Jesus. They know how to quote Scripture, and they know how to argue Scripture, and they get into theology, anthropology, and psychology, and nonsenology, and all that. You know what I mean? They really don't know Jesus because they don't have the joy, and they don't have the peace, and they don't have the power. And if that happens to you, don't stay that way for more than 30 seconds, a minute at the most. You could be dangerous to your health. You see, we love the product, but only because it brings us to the person, Jesus Christ. You can become puffed up with knowledge, the Bible says. Much knowledge puffs you up. You got to go to Jesus. That's like reading the contents on the back of coffee. It's like this coffee and so on like that, you know. Tells you how to enjoy it and when, how to make it. Mrs. Olson, she's always telling us how to make coffee. Oh, and then there's Juan Valdez. He's up there all night. He must pick, it's only him and his son. They put him, Juan Valdez, he's picking these beans so you can have coffee in the morning. Man, he must be the fastest bean picker that ever was. I mean, and then they tell you how it tastes and fill it up to the rim with brim or whatever. And it shows them smelling it and brings a marriage back together again. It makes some pretty fantastic claims. Isn't that right? Now it smells and so on. Like, they just go through a fit with that coffee. Doesn't that make you want to have a cup, though? Huh? I tell you, that Mrs. Olson and that Juan Valdez have sent me out after a pitcher of coffee more than one time. And I thought to myself, if we would advertise Jesus like the world advertises coffee, look out! They are drinking it all day long. I can't do nothing without my coffee in the morning. Stay out of my way until I have my coffee! Should we be that way with Jesus? Stay out of my way, I'm dangerous. I have not praised the Lord. He has not entered my praises yet. I'm too ornery to even praise him, okay? Huh? How do you like that one, Juan and Olson? Isn't that the truth, though? Now, I know someone's going to write me and said, that, you know, it was all right, but there was too much laughing in the church. I didn't exactly appreciate it. Well, that's because the only thing you appreciate is yourself. Say amen, somebody. John 1 and 14 says like this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Ooh. "John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I have said, He who comes after me was a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ." Wow. Are you hearing this? Ooh. Let me have another little scripture here for you. This is John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And I thought to myself, as all the conversation that goes on about the north side, can any good thing come out of the north side? Come and see. Wherever that Jesus Christ is high and lifted up, and oh God, help me to do that. Help me not to get off the way. People are going to have to come see. Oh, and there's going to be a coming and a seeing. Yes, there is something good happening down here on the north side. There is corn in Egypt. Potatoes and liver and whatever. Are you hearing it? And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom no guile, to whom there is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Oh, if we can open up our believing and keep it simple. Say amen, somebody. If we can keep on the way, if we can if we can regulate our walk, if we, in Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, to regulate our walk so that we don't get off of the way all the time, that we recognize our little faults, we confess them to one another, we help one another, we say, brother, you're ready for the straitjacket, 15 minutes in the straitjacket, for you're off the way. If we can just go on, oh my, you'll see things like you've never ever seen before, I know it. In John 6 then, and 66 here. As a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. See, when the going gets tough, a lot of the disciples take off. Say amen. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, You do not want to go away also, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hey, there's nowhere I can go, and I know it. I'm so thankful that I can't go anywhere else. I went so far up the road. I went so far up the way. There is no returning. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is the devil? You know what? Jesus is talking right now to Christians around the world. What a wonderful time we're living in right now. What a time where, you know, we've got to get off of the little babynesses and all the little hurt feelings. Isn't that right? We've got to grow up. Say amen. God wants to work a work, and we've got to come into the way. We've got to understand that, yes, we once in a while get off here and off there and so on like that. But we've got to remind ourselves that we're on the way. See, Jesus changed the standard. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, but I say unto you, I'm telling you something now. You had your ideas about God, but God has realized in me, I'm going to give you a new thing. I am the life. I am the way. How many are hearing this? And that's Matthew 5 and 17 says, do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. God is fulfilling his works through you. You are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. You are the walking, talking word. Not the word printed, but the word within you walking and talking and doing. Hallelujah. I will put my laws into your hearts. And you will be my people. He didn't say, and I'm going to try to make it. You will be my people. Praise the Lord. He has changed the standards and made his own word final. I will do it. I have done it. I have done it. It's done. It's finished. And so then we must accept everything in the Old Testament that fits into his mind and spirit, but what doesn't must be laid aside. New revelation, Jesus Christ, must be first. The blood of Jesus Christ over bulls and goats. One greater than the commandments is here. A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, his conduct produced a new code. I am going to give you a code of life. I am the code. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Behold, the old is passing away. Behold, there's a new. I will put those laws into your heart, into your mind. I will be your God and you will be my people. That's it. I've spoken. The word has spoken. Life has spoken. The walking, talking word. It's not law, it's grace. Our code is a character study, not commandments. Say amen, somebody. Jesus fulfilled the law. Die for a friend. No greater love of the man, he would die for a friend. Not do's and don'ts. We follow a person who inspires our morality. You have no morality on your own. Do you ever try to be moral on yourself? You listening on the radio, some of you guys, did you ever try to be moral all by yourself? Tell the truth. Some of you gals, have you tried to be moral all by yourself? It doesn't work. There isn't a moral bone in your body outside of Jesus leading you. No, I know there's someone saying, oh, yes, I have been made moral. But are you moral by yourself? No. And the sooner that we face those issues, the sooner we're going to do away with these strained, white-knuckled, vein-popping, eye-popping, I'm going to be good if it kills me Christians. There is no good thing in you saving Jesus Christ. Give your mind to God. We follow a person who inspires our morality. It comes from within. It has to. It has to come from Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's called love. And when it isn't working, you're off the way. You're unlovely. One is legal morality, the other is love morality. And you know what when I say legal morality? It's when you walk in, see, and you have your self-righteous badge on, see, and you go in where they're boozing and you take a machine gun. Yeah! Huh? And you kill everybody in the process. Of you being moral. You know how many times people kill each other by being moral in themselves? No, you have a different morality. It's a love morality. You hate the sin, but you love the sinner. Say amen, somebody. Goes a little past commandments. It goes into a life. It goes into a character. It goes into Christ. It goes into the Word, the life, the resurrection, the all. Are you hearing this? One is artificial. You have to pump it. One is artesian. It just flows up. It flows from deep within. How many know when you're flowing from deep within? How many know when you're a pump? Huh? You know, when you're an artesian well, it just flows out and the water's so clear and so good and people can come and drink because it's coming from the fountain. Greater is he that's within you. He is of the world. It's an artesian well. You ever seen it? You see people walking around this week and they had a handle in the back, a pump handle hanging off the back of their head here? Huh? Can I have a drink? Sure, grab my pump. Use me. Everybody else does. Go ahead. Huh? And so you got to work it out of them. Is it worth it? No, the water is all rusty. See, one binds and the others frees. One greater than the written law is here. Living grace is here. Our code is a character, not commandments. Love Jesus, I said, love Jesus first and last and forever. He's our life. And if you love Him, you will fulfill the commandments. How many here in this? See, love obeys. Love doesn't take into account and waste a whole day for what someone... Well, now look, look after all I've done for this person. Look at him. Well, what did you expect? I can't figure it out. After all I did. And you say, well, that's the way it is. And then they'll keep right on. But I mean, I did this, and I did that, and I did this. Oh, you sure you didn't miss something? Why don't you check your little black book of what you did out first? You might have missed something that you did. Or would you rather give God the credit? You want to take it yourself? Is that it? But I was kind and gracious, and not that I really care, but I'm just wondering why. God is dealing with you. You have such a nasty, self-righteous attitude. And you think you've done so much for folks. And why are they ever treating you this way? Aren't you? Well, in a way, yes. Well, don't you think you need dealing with them? Don't you think you're off the way? Look how miserable you are. Now you're really going to see them get miserable when you don't agree with them. But see, you have to help people, and sometimes they don't want help. Well, I don't care. That's just not right. Pooh. I'm sick of it. Pooh, pooh, pooh. Very well. Live in your misery. I'm going elsewhere. In Hebrews in chapter 12, in verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and oh, they're all over. Now, I would say something that happened, but I'm not for sure about it, and so I'm not going to say anything, and you, well, just forget it. Now I got your attention. Haven't I? Well, I ain't going to say it. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Lay aside every encumbrance, everything that will slow you down. Now, if you were running for $1 million, would you carry your habits with you? Would you? If you were running for $1 million, would you carry all your habits with you? Huh? Well, what do you mean by habits? Well, you got that great big demon on your back getting mad at every little thing, and he's riding up on the left shoulder over here. And then you got that demon to gossip riding on this, and you got all these demons hanging on you while you're trying to run the race. Lay aside every encumbrance and all your habits. Try to run with a keg of beer or huh? Some friends that you should leave? Oh, there's so many people that should leave friends. I was talking to a person today about that, and I thought, oh, God, that's so great that this person was shown that, that they have to leave certain friends. Well, I mean, hey, they're my friends, they're my buddies. I don't worry about it. Tell them I love Jesus, and they'll run away from you. I have decided to follow Jesus Christ, and I am not going to go this way of the world. There are friends you have to give up. I don't think that's right. I think I should stay, and I should witness to them, and I don't see nothing wrong with having an occasional beer so I can witness to them. I don't want them to think I'm self-righteous. I don't want them to think that give them the idea that I think I'm better than they are. It hasn't got nothing to do with it. You don't judge them, but you don't do those things. You have to show them the way. I'm not talking about being self-righteous. I'm not talking about being a goody-goody two-shoes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing what's right for righteousness' sake. Sometimes you have to leave bad company. I mean, right in the middle of a whole group. You say, woo-wee, there's a stink in here. Let me out. Woo! Later, huh? I mean, wouldn't that break up a crew of spiritual giants, let's say, that are off the way, like we all do at times, get off? Pew-wee! Huh? Just leave them sitting there? Or even expose yourself. Oh, I stink. And just get yourself out of the crowd. Say amen. Oh, yeah, this is too basic. Hey, I mean, if we would do this, we wouldn't have all these problems. Tell your friends, hey, I have decided to follow Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of encumbrances. I'm in a race, you understand? I'm in a race. I can't carry the booze. I can't carry on with these men or these girls or whatever. And I have decided to follow Jesus. That's it. Okay, and that's just the way you got to do it. Go ahead. And then after it talks about the race and the endurance and the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus so that you don't get weary and lose heart. I don't want to go on pooey, 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 ha! How many are hearing this? We should sing that to one another once in a while. Off the road again. You are off the road again. You are off the road again, my friend. Oh, yes, you're off the road again. Huh? And then just go walking away and just irritate him right back on the road again. Huh? How many are hearing this? Oh, my God. Whoa, hallelujah. To love and obey the commandments produces Pharisees. Puffed up rule keepers. Running on self-power. But to love and obey Jesus Christ produces the Christian. If you love me, you'll obey me. And if you obey me, you'll obey the commandments that are written within you, and I'll give you the power to do that. Not an outward thing, not ink on page, but one written within you. Something that you'll have to live rather than just quote. And I'm finding that we Christians that love Jesus Christ never attain Because it seems like the more that we obey Christ, the more we see that there is to obey. Obedience, I'm saying, leads you to obedience. You obey God. And the Lord says, come, go over here, do this, do that, and you go over there and you do that, and then there's something else you have to obey. See, when you follow Jesus, you follow him in obedience. You don't follow him like some child that doesn't want to do it. Slap, slap with the feet. You follow him, and it leads you to more obedience, more sacrifice, more deliverance, more joy, more peace, more on the way. Sometimes you get into what we're talking about right here, and people think you're kind of weird. Well, you're on the way, and you're so much on the way, you don't want to get off the way. But yet they want to call you off to the side and get you out of the race. Give me your opinion on this, will you? Beware of the evil questioners. Are you hearing this message tonight? Oh, God. We love Jesus, and so I say we never attain. We don't run out of circumference. We don't run out of track. He is greater than our thoughts, and he's greater than our ways. We are, let's say it this way, we are following a living mind, so we are under the law of eternal growth. You're always growing, aren't you? Huh? Well, some weeks we don't grow. You feel like a little runt. Huh? Do you ever grow in the Lord in one day and you're just feeling so beautiful? Huh? Yeah, that's when you're on the way. You grow. You get off the way and you got, you know, you just get sort of crippled. You get real little short legs and you're stumbling off the track this way and that way and you lose your balance. Huh? Got your diapers back on there binding on you. Huh? Got the great big long sword hanging on you, but you're only about this tall. Keep tripping over it, tripping over the Word of God. It becomes a stumbling thing to you. Childish things. He is greater than our thoughts. He is greater than our ways. He is greater than our ideas. The Word is greater than our words. See, because our fixed ideas become false ideas. Did you ever get so fixed in your particular type of stink? Becomes false ideas. See, ideas in the Lord are always growing. Now look out that you don't get off on what I'm saying here. But if you have a fixed idea, that's the way it is, period. That's just the way the Holy Ghost always moves, never moves, and you do this and this and this and this and A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3, and that's it. I know God. And you get so fixed in your own idea and in your own thought, in your own ways, that's when you stop growing. You're not open to anything that the Lord is doing new. Never open to change. See, because I believe Jesus is forever beyond us. We must keep reaching and growing and seeking. You never quite catch him. You obey him and you run after him and you get just about ready to touch him and he goes on. Beckons to you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, I want to sit here in glory. I want to sit down on top of this 80,000 pounds of potatoes. King of the mountain. Huh? And you get done with the potatoes, and then there comes the liver, and then there's something else. And he keeps beckoning, come on, come on. Don't stop to sit on this and glory in it. No, preachers, isn't it wonderful to glory in a great meeting you had? Oh, thousands fell out. Ooh, and live on that for 10 years? Isn't that right? Or some great thing that happened and we tell over and over, oh yeah, and you give the same testimony. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, huh? I remember 15 years ago. And the same person 15 years later will be giving the same testimony. And Jesus is saying, come on. Come on. They just keep right on. They're so busy with themselves telling, giving their personal testimony of how great they were. Oh, and the people just, oh. I walked in, they felt the power of God. Huh? Are you hearing that, preachers? Oh, God. I tell you, this, we have to allow the Lord to humble us every day. You get, hey, allow it. It's good for you. I was painting a cabinet downstairs today and someone said, however can you paint so neatly? This is just wonderful. There's no paint on you. How do you do it? I would have paint all over myself. And I kind of give one of them kind of, you stiffen your backbone up, you know, and you sort of dance. You kind of go, oh, I don't know. Blip. A drop of paint right on the rug. Got off the way. Took me a whole hour to scrub that up. So as nobody would see it. A great master painter. How many hearing this? Isn't that a character study? And I thought, oh, God, I can do nothing without you. But, oh, I sure enjoyed that compliment, Lord. Huh? And I pulled the tape off, and there was a whole, where I had sprayed, there was a whole line where I had sprayed the whole rug. And then came to me again, ye can do nothing without me. And I said, you can say that again. Let's look at this rug. And I know that's the truth. It is. How many found that out this week? You can do nothing without me. You see, because Jesus is forever beyond us and we must keep reaching and growing and seeking. Oh, yes, there's fixed things. I know there is. There's the rock, and there's love, and there's grace, and there's forever forgiveness and forever salvation. But Jesus is continually unfolding. Isn't he exciting? Continually unfolding. And I thought to myself, a Christian never just is. He is always becoming. Behold, all things are become new. We are not is-as, we are becomings. We're always becoming new every day by obeying, which always brings us a test and a trial. Isn't that the way it is, though? You obey the Lord, and then there's a test and the trial. You decide to leave all your friends, and you decide to do this, or you decide to do that. And a person some time back told me a story where they had left all their friends and moved out away from them. It's quite a common story, you know. And just got away from all their worldly friends. And then the test and then the trial came. And the voices, where were you?
When we needed you, where were you?
It's a common story, isn't it? And the friends miss you and they're mad at you because they've done all kinds of things for you. Hey, did you forget the time I did this, the time I did that? Who held your hand after you were jilted that time? I did, that's who. Always, when you obey the Lord and you follow after the Lord, there is a trial and there is a tribulation, let's say, a test. Always. That's because you're coming up against the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. That isn't all bad. It's your test. Hebrews 13 and 13 says like this, hence let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. Do you want to be fruitful? Start praising the Lord. Glory to God when you're in the middle of a trial. Hallelujah. Because you dared to obey the Lord. And that is the fruit of your lips. And that is a living sacrifice. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. For this would be unprofitable for you. If you're going to do something for the Lord, do it with lips of praising, hallelujah, and don't forget out those out there and start doing good things and sharing with people. Let me close now. Jesus is greater than all of the ceremonies. Ceremonies and rites listening on the radio will not save you. Baptism is fine, but don't hang around the river too long. Well, I sat, my little self-centered self, down by the riverside. Well, I sat, my little self-satisfied self, down by the riverside. Don't hang around rituals too long, for there is one greater that's come, greater than the law, greater than baptism, greater than anything, and his name is Jesus. Don't get hung up on a doctrine. And remember, communion is for a remembrance. Let nothing come between you and Jesus. Nothing. Throw it all overboard for Jesus. Jesus is the way. Not a ritual, not a baptism, not ceremonies. Well, you mean you don't believe in baptism? Yes. But see Jesus only. There's a lot of folks walking around right now saying, are you born again? Are you saved? Oh, yes, I was baptized as a baby. Does not mean a thing. They don't know Jesus. Colossians 2 and 16 says, therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to the festival or a new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshy mind, and not holding fast to the head. And there's so much of that going on. They're not holding on to the head, they're holding on to a particular type of thing that they have seen in their own self-lifting up, inflated ego. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grow with the growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees? Are you hearing it? And lastly, he is greater than the church. We're not saved by the cross, you know. We're saved by Christ. He's greater than the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Well, when the resurrection comes, our brother will raise up. Isn't that the way it is? Lazarus, come forth! I am the resurrection and I am the life! But hold it, he stinks. He's been in there 3 days. I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am greater. I am not about it. I am it. I am the resurrection. The church is to serve Christ, and being a member will not save you, but belonging to Jesus Christ will always save you. How many heard this message tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are following our God. We can't afford to get off the way. Don't do it, and don't let no one lead you off the way. Don't weary in doing well. But when you do well, don't sit on the mountain of your works praising yourself and giving God a little bit of credit. But give God all the glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to him, glory to him, glory to him. Glory and glory and glory to him. You know what? You get back on the way that way. Don't worry about overpraising. It can't be done. Cannot be done. Besides that, that's the only way that he inhabits. He inhabits the praises of his people. Praise the Lord. Put your arms up now and just praise him. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Just tell him, you know, Lord, how I've been. I've been off the way all day and I've been complaining about my life. And you see, you haven't been complaining about your life. That was no life. That was death. Praise you, Lord. Now I'm coming back into life again. Oh, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. I forgot I went insane. I got off the way. Lord, thank you. Praise the Lord. Whoa, you're greater than the church. You're greater than the Bible. You're greater than communion. You're greater than baptism. You are it. You're greater than resurrection. You are the resurrection. Praise the Lord, He is all in all. Hallelujah. Whoa. I am expecting great things from the Lord for great things He hath done. And He's never done all done. Greater things He's going to do. And these things that you see me do, even greater things ye will do through me. So many people get, I'm going to do greater things. Well, that's what the Word says. Through Christ. There's no other way. No other way. Whew. Isn't that wonderful?